Are mining companies increasing exploration within the province of Ontario and doing so above the inherent rights of First Nation claims to the territory? How is mainstream media's coverage of the war in Ukraine today comparing with the coverage of the war in Iraq 20 years ago? How has global research and CKUW made a difference for people in the peace movement? What is the reason for listeners just like you to finally get over their hesitance and donate to CKUW Fund Drive? This week on the Global Research News Hour, we are focusing our attention on relaying arguments the mainstream media are not addressing on giving a voice to the many people in Canada and around the world voicing the very important, legitimate concerns about the U.S. and NATO efforts, both in the past and the present, that could divert us from the past to ongoing wars. In our first half hour, we'll play an interview with Chief Donnie Morris of Kitchinumiskusib Ininuag First Nation about the mutual cooperation agreement signed with Grassy Narrows and to other First Nations. Then we will focus on the war in Ukraine, now on the occasion of its first anniversary, outline how it is connected with other imperialist actions by the West, and describe the peace actions waged in the cities across Canada and around the world. And we will also encourage you all to donate generously to fundrive.ckuw.ca. On today's program, connecting the dots on the urgent need to support CKUW and the Global Research News Hour. Bringing you the analysis beyond the media headlines, the Global Research News Hour is on the air. Welcome to the Global Research News Hour for the week of February 24th, 2023. I'm your host, Michael Welch. The Global Research News Hour is a special media collaboration paid for by the Center for Research on Globalization and hosted by CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm your host, Michael Welch. We strive to bring you the voices of political, academic, and other voices often ignored by mainstream media. Our shows are featured on other radio stations across the country and around the world and accessible by stream or podcast at globalresearch.ca. We acknowledge that this program is produced on the territory of the Anishinaabe, Ininu, Oji, Cree, Dene, and Dakota, the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heartland of the Métis Nation homeland. It is important to at least acknowledge that Canada is our home on native land and that we owe our partners for the unjust treatment delivered on them in exchange. Acknowledging these truths is just a first step in the long journey toward reconciliation. Fund Drive is here, and we are in the remaining hours of our long appeal to donate to the station to help CKUW be all it can be. As a campus-based community radio station, we're quite a bit different if you have been listening for a while. We're not CBC for kids. We are not just junior versions of the bigger media. The staff here put a lot of energy into training people in the community of Winnipeg and allowing them to bring to the airwaves the unique content that they don't hear in the same capacity anywhere else. Community members with the ability to operate the equipment, basic skills of interviewing guests and doing research. Maybe we can't compete with the big boys in terms of mastering the profession and quality broadcasts, but we do offer a tapestry of community member interest and community members' lives that becomes an interesting media experience. This isn't some professional reporter going out to a different field each week. It's the experience of hearing people in the streets, in the work office, from the apartment two doors down, sharing the music or the facts on the ground that you can appreciate every week. So please show you care. Be part of this one-of-a-kind volunteer opportunity. Phone 204-774-6877 or go to the internet and type fundrive.ckuw.ca. That's fundrive.ckuw.ca and make a pledge to the Global Research News Hour or to whatever show you might appreciate just as much. For my first interview, we have Chief Donnie Morris of Kitchinumiskusib Ininuag First Nation, or KI for short, as a backdrop, representatives of KI, Wapikaka and Neskantaka, and Asopishosiwagong Anishinaabeg, or Grassy Narrows, formed an allegiance to protect their lands and waters in the face of mounting concerns about increased encroachment on their territories by mining exploration communities who have been enabled by the Ford government's pro-industry stance. This is the latest escalation in a growing conflict between First Nations and the Ford government over mining exploration occurring against the will of local First Nations. It's the mutual cooperation agreement was signed on January 31st. I got in touch with Chief Morris to get a few more details about the historic agreement, so we'll play that interview for you right now.
You signed a new cooperation agreement with the three other nations. Could you maybe just give us the broad context of
yeah.
what this agreement is about? What did you agree to?
Okay, well, the agreement we signed on now with the communities was protecting our waterways, our water, and the forestry. And then moving forward in areas of like how we would structure ourselves in the future to align ourselves together if any of our communities need to work out progress coming into our homelands without first getting the consent of the membership of the communities we represent, and also future development. Community themselves should determine how it should look like in the future. The way the current environment that we're in is government sets the policies, the rules, and everybody seems to take it for granted that it's free land up there. And really, it's not when we're up north in these communities that we represent as leaders. So moving forward, I believe when we sign on together with Wapikaka, Grassy Narrows, Neskandiga, and KI, I think eventually the numbers will grow once everybody knows what are the really goal behind preserving water, waterways for the future. Because water is going to be a valuable item in the future. Same thing with forestry. Eh?
Okay. So I was wondering, I mean, you mentioned that this agreement was signed to prevent the Ford government from granting free entry to mining exploration companies to your homelands and without granting your people consent. I was wondering, I mean, how long has this sort of thing been going on, or has it been, is there been an increase in this sort of thing in recent years?
Well, for us up north of KI, we had Platniks and God's Lakes that were heavily involved in their areas of permits that they got. But these are the things that made it come head to head with the communities that we do not appreciate of these things that this government does policy, the Mining Act, and all these things. So, for example, getting consent from the community and our policies, like water, like we have policies too, eh?
Yeah.
But the issue here is government does not seem to recognize us, our policies, our why we seem to clash every so often. I mean, Ontario's got to understand that they did not get this land over over war. The treaty was based on friendship and sharing, peaceful coexistence. Not for you. You're the sole owner of everything, and you determine the outcome of how resources extraction should look like up north. That's not the intent. The intent is we want to be players in the same region. We want to work with entities. We want to work with government, but they got to first acknowledge and recognize the governing structures that First Nations have on their communities. It's just not on reserve, it's on traditional lands too, eh?
So, I mean, is this mutual...
And I think that's why I want to have a... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. What was this mutual cooperation agreement? I mean, is it kind of like joining NATO in a sense? I mean, if the mining exploration company leans in on one community, it's going against all four or something like that?
No. We are not there to create tension with the other communities or the public at large. It's just that as leaders of these communities, we acknowledge birthplaces, places where our Aboriginal descendants were before. We just want to protect these places to get a grasp of, KI membership. That 23,000 square kilometers that was put aside, not all of it was put aside by the government. There's some areas of places that were left out. So it's just where we were currently now is just what we're trying to protect. And we just want to show support to other communities that are of the same mind. For example, the other three communities. If we're having problems, we're there to help each other out and work our way how we're going to tackle the issue in front of us. That's the whole intent.
So you're saying that any community...
And I think... what's that?
Are you saying that any community, any Indigenous or First Nation can join in if they want to, like all across the province?
If they want to. If they feel they have certain territories they want to have protected and have an understanding how we want to work together, yeah, it's there.
Okay. So is there any ever
but,
been
on the other hand,
eh? So you can go ahead.
On the other hand, that's why I'm calling out separately on the MNR ministry. I want to have a discussion, talks with them. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's how it is. It's we're not all up the, we're all down this one road. The
yeah.
four of us, me, joining together, it just gives us more of a bigger group. But that's why I'm calling out Ontario separately. Hey, there's grievances. You've done harm. You abused our memberships before treaty and after treaty when Ontario had the Lands and Forestry Department. Now they're called MNR Forestry. We need to talk. We need to talk of past issues. That's why I'm calling out Ontario separately, the Ministry of Natural Resources.
How did you come together? I mean, how long has it been, and how, what was the process of you coming together? Did it start with one individual reaching out to other people who had problems, or how did it come together?
At first it just came where Gretchen Arrows was there, and we were there, and just by I guess bumping into each other and hearing things of other communities, what they're going through on their traditional lands, homelands. And that's just how we got to get together now with Niskantaga, with the mining sector too. So it's just by hearing things, like I said, we've gotten to come together, mutual understanding of what our needs are, how we want to structure ourselves. But by the way, we don't even have an office yet. It's just communities realigning themselves to how do we tackle these things that are confronting us. That's just how it is.
I was wondering...
And the support staff we have in our communities.
I was wondering if you have any particular... I mean, you talk about mining companies. Is there any particular minerals that they're seeking? I mean, like a new gold rush package, perhaps? Or... what?
I'm pretty sure you are aware what we went through. Ours was with platinum, eh?
Okay. Yeah.
Platinics, I guess they needed these special minerals, just unfortunately, it's just too close to the community, too close to our large lake, and we just could not take the risk of our waterways destroyed, our fishes, and our water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how did the people in your nation react to the news of this new agreement?
Well, I haven't gone home yet, but when I get home next week, I'll probably be telling them what transpired and how we will be moving forward, and also if Ontario will respond to a meeting. We're just going to wait.
So have you gotten any response from the province or provincial officials so far?
Not yet.
Yeah, you just got one message from the opposition minister, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and it was supportive.
But that's at the end of the day, that's my goal, is to try and meet with MNR and just tell them all our grievances. Even when they build their accommodation building, office building on our cemetery, I mean, like all these things, there's a huge list. And it's, like I said, it's time we sat down and they own up to the past issues they created for us, our membership, harassment out on our lands and destroying camps, all these things. Yeah?
Do you know, is this agreement modeled after anything other Indigenous tribes have done, either in Ontario or in another province, or is this like
No. No. I think this is the first of its kind here.
So that was Chief Donnie Morris, one of four signatories to the new Mutual Cooperation Agreement last month. You'll notice that the chief mentioned platinum as one of the metals they were looking for. Platinum is one of 31 vital ingredients sought by mining companies in conjunction with the new electric vehicle production and the fourth industrial revolution, as it's called. So even though they're emphasizing less oil production, the governments and so on, that doesn't mean that the campaign to hustle First Nations is over. Just like there are similar mining exploration sites seeking to mine Africa and Latin America against the interests of the people on those territories. So I guarantee this show will focus on these exploits as acts in service of capitalism against the interests of the people. But right now, I would like to encourage our listeners, especially if you have been listening for 2 weeks to CKUW, that this is the last spoken word show on Fund Drive 2023. You appear to be hesitant to part with your cash. In spite of all the really, really great appeals to donate that's been airing over the last 2 weeks, just phone 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckuw.ca. There are many great incentives. At the $70 level, you can get a really iconic T-shirt available this year. There are many, the shirt is sort of surreal, a mix of, I don't know, ghosts and spooks, like images, all in a mass. It's really impressive compared to previous years. I mean, you can just see what you're missing by going to fundrive.ckuw.ca and looking at the $70 level. And you can have that as well as the Friends card with all the discounts to Winnipeg-based businesses that are available. Stores like Organic Planet, Elements Cafe on Portage, offering 15% off all food. The Yellow Dog Tavern offering 10% off food. As well, there are discounts on memberships at Cinematheque, Genea, Jesmer Photography, Columbus Radio, and Into the Music, Hollow Reed Holistic. They all offer discounts with the Friends card. And you get the T-shirt and the Friends card for just $70. And if you donate a little bit more, say at the $160 level, you get the Friends card, the premium CKUW hoodie, and your choice of either the T-shirt, the Bluetooth radio, and the toque, you know, the CKW logo, you wear it on your head. If you donate just under, well, I guess, about $15 a month, you can get that. So do phone 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckuw.ca. So I guess maybe we could...
Hey, Michael. Yeah, we could go to the break. You have the next song here. So I'll just do a quick drive update. We just got a call.
Okay.
And the drive total is right now at 43,814.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's we still got a little while to go. So maybe we just go to this next song and then maybe another quick pitch song and then we go to Ken Stone.
Okay, certainly. Yeah. I guess that's Light of Moon, I suppose, would be good.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Get those phones ringing 204-774-6877.
Shibalba and my cuz out in Toronto. I'ma see you sometime in el próximo año. 2021. If y'all knew what I know, y'all would've signed. Si se puede hace varios años. Yo jamás les engaño. Nada sigue siendo algo. No confío en los gobiernos y por ello siempre valgo. Ver masa hecha en casa siempre hay que tener. Y ya no sé qué más hacer con las penas que me hacen amanecer antes del atardecer. Algo tendrían que ver con todas las tramas que pasé. Hace tiempo que te abracé desde ese Halloween que me disfracé de Pedro pica piedras y amanecé como una luna nueva saliendo de mi cueva, como el oso sagrado que lleva muchos secretos ancestrales. Ya no quiero más dinero, solo quiero muchos materiales para hacer todo mi arte fino, contribuyendo a comunidades, haciendo de mi parte. Estoy hecho para amarte, nunca abandonarte, a mi familia agregarte y mi corazón completo darte, porque soy la musa para mi arte.
Okay, so that was Light of Moon with Absorbing Peace. And yeah, that's a nice hip hop artist. Let's see. Kind of the theme of this show at this point. And also Light of Moon is performing at the Pyramid on Monday, the 27th of February. So if you're local, you might want to check that out. So, we're already halfway through the drive, and I want you to know that coming up in a few minutes, we'll be speaking to Ken Stone, who is is with the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, and also with the Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network promoting participation in at least 8 cities in Canada to stop the war in Ukraine this weekend. This is, I believe, an international movement as well, because the alternative is more violence and graves and bloodshed. Those of you who haven't contributed to the fund drive this year, now is the time to do it. So phone 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckuw.ca to measure up and really, you know, get it out of the way. I mean, okay, I remember in 2003, I was listening, and I was listening to everything that was going on in the mainstream world, you know, CBC, Global, CTV, whatever, and all they were saying is that they were repeating the claim that had just come out. In fact, it was February 5th that the Colin Powell had been, he presented his, you know, case that the Iraq was manufacturing weapons of mass destruction and wasn't able to see through it. So they had to, you know, so it was all kind of factual and everything, and I know this was not true. And it was only CKUW that presented a different picture. We heard voices like Scott Ritter, who made the case that this is simply not, that there's no case that this is the weapons of mass destruction. Like, he gave a thorough going through it. So, and it basically alluded to other issues. So I listened to it, and it was so high heart. I mean, they pulled me out of the fetal position, so to speak, and they say, hey, you know, these guys think like I do. You know, there are voices like mine. And so I guess I don't know, I think it might have been Kent Davies or whoever it was, but I actually convinced myself to not only listen to CKUW, but then to contribute to CKUW. And if you do feel the way I do about other wars, like Ukraine and, you know, Libya, Afghanistan, Syria, you know, and moving all the way up to today where we're going up against Ukraine, and I know there are lots of people like that, then you can just phone 204-774-6877 or go to fundrive.ckuw.ca, and you'll really have that satisfaction. I mean, I was unemployed at the time, but I gave a certain amount of money, and I never, ever regretted it, okay? So you would want to do that, too. There's only half an hour left in our show, and as I understand it now from you just heard Scott Price, who is our program director at CKUW, and he's saying we've got maybe a little bit. If I could get maybe $120 or something like that, we'll be at $45,000. So I think that this is really a good opportunity for someone to phone up. I'd like to see $120. I'd like to make that bench point of $45,000, which would feel really good.
Hi, Michael. Just a quick FundDrive update. We just got a phone call from Helga. She donated $200 to the Global Research News Hour. So thank you so much for donating to the Global Research News Hour and CKUW. So I don't have an updated total, but that's excellent.
$45,000, right?
Yeah. I don't have the updated station total, but I'll get that to you.
Okay.
This is coming up. But what we'll do is, what we should do is go to a song in a minute, and then I'll take you off here on the phone line, and then we'll be live with Ken Stone in a little bit. How about that? Does that sound good?
Okay, for sure.
Yeah. What is this? 44,014 right now.
Okay.
So we still got a little ways to go to get to the 45, but we did just get past 43. So that's excellent. Thank you again, Helga.
Thanks, Helga.
You have talking about this anti-war stances. You have a song here. There's No Glory in the Grave.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, it's not a song. It's actually a speech given by Claire Daly, who is an MEP. And it's a very different kind of speech than we're used to hearing from politicians. I don't know of any politicians in, in Canada who speaks like this, but she gives a very good point, and I think it's a good setup for our interview with Ken Stone. So
yeah, I will shoot to that in a moment, Michael. We'll get you off of the phone line, and then stay tuned to get on the Google Meet so you can talk to Ken Stone. Again, the number 204-774-6877 to make a pledge to CKW or specifically to the Global Research News Hour, whatever that is. Every dollar at this point really does count, and it means a lot to the continued broadcasting of independent radio here on the FM dial. Let's go to this speech. There is no glory in the grave by Clara Daly. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Daily.
Right. So that'll be coming on, and then stay tuned for Michael Welsh interviewing Ken Stone here on the Global Research News Hour.
War in Ukraine continues when voices everywhere should be calling for a ceasefire and peace. This resolution is driving us in the opposite direction, so I proudly voted against it. It peddles the latest lie that this is not now about defending Ukraine, it's about Ukraine must win. What does that even mean? Last April, there was a deal on the table which would have seen Russia withdraw in return for Ukrainian non-NATO membership. But Ukraine's Western friends, killer clown Boris Johnson and NATO, rocked into town and told them to keep fighting. The result? 6 cities devastated, 4 provinces illegally annexed, €108 billion in aid, which the people of Ukraine are going to have to pay back over decades, global food and energy crisis. Is this winning? Ordinary people don't win in wars. They're cannon fodder in the games of others. And ye can shout glory in here all you like, but there's no glory in the grave, and only graves come out of this folly. It's time for people and the silent majority all over Europe to take to the streets this weekend and demand peace and an end to the war.
You see, the United States doesn't want Iraq disarmed. The United States wants Saddam Hussein gone. And they use disarmament to...
Community Radio, the CKW.
Okay, you're on now.
Hey, Ken, you're there?
I am.
Okay, you're the you're with the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, and you're serving as the treasurer, and you're also one of the signatories to a the Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network. Correct?
That is correct. I'm a steering committee member of the network.
Okay, great. So. This is a very special weekend. It's the anniversary of the Russian invasion into Ukraine, or the special military operation, as it were. Maybe just give me some details about the event that you're putting on and the events, the Canada-wide events that are happening across the country over the next couple of days.
Okay. The Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network is having a weekend of action to stop the U.S. proxy war in Ukraine. And we are having actions in 12 cities across the country. They started yesterday, they end Sunday. They are in Regina, Vancouver, Victoria, Montreal, Calgary, Hamilton, Ottawa, Waterloo, Winnipeg, Toronto, Windsor, and Halifax. They are of all different kinds. 11 of them are in person, and ours in Hamilton is a virtual event, and it's called Connecting the Dots, Resisting the U.S.-NATO Agenda in Ukraine and in West Asia.
Mm, interesting, and I believe that event is also, I guess, co-hosted or sponsored by the International Manifesto Group and the Geological Economic Research Group or something, right?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Well, that should be really significant. This Canada-wide event, I guess I'm wondering if you could touch on the similarities and the differences between the Ukraine war today and the Iraq war of almost 220 years ago.
Well, we were formed in the run-up, the Hamilton Coalition was formed in the run-up to the war, the Anglo-American attack on Iraq. And in those days, because it was a war of the Republicans, it was a George W. Bush war, there were all kinds of people, liberal people, who joined in. We had demonstrations in Canada, right across the country, involving hundreds of thousands of people. And it may have, we know it did. We know it had the effect of persuading Jean Chrétien, the then liberal prime minister, not to send ground troops into Iraq. Of course, later on, when the attention was off, he supported the U.S. and U.K. attack and occupation of Iraq by a number of other means. But at the time, it prevented Canadian troops from going into Iraq, which I think was an important victory.
Yes. It doesn't seem, right now at least, it doesn't seem like there's the same kind of energy that there was back then. Maybe that has something to do with some of the messaging, you know, that sponsored it, because they say that they're helping Ukraine support, you know, to get help from this evil invading monster that is Russia. Could you just, like, in a minute or so, try to get past the mainstream media messaging and talk about what's really going on that we should concern us?
Well, it's very difficult to get past the dominant narrative that's put out by the government and the mainstream media day in, day out. But our Canada-wide Peace and Justice Network speaks for the one quarter of Canadians who want to end the war in Ukraine through negotiations. This week, the Angus Reid poll came out showing that one quarter of Canadians somehow on their own have figured out that the best way to end this war is through the negotiations. And we say that it's time for the prime and foreign ministers to stop fueling this conflict with endless arms, funding, and mercenaries, and instead pick up the phone and call their counterparts in Russia seeking input on what it would take to end this war. This war did not start 1 year ago tomorrow. It started in the 1990s when the Soviet Union dissolved and NATO did not dissolve. Instead, it made a pledge to Gorbachev, the last head of the Soviet Union, that it wouldn't expand one inch eastward. But in the last 30 years, it expanded 800 kilometers eastward and gobbled up 14 former Warsaw Pact and Russian Soviet states. And Canada and the U.S. and NATO helped. They funded a coup in Ukraine in 2014 to overturn a democratic government, which had a mandate to be a neutral government, and installed instead a government riddled with Nazis who turned Ukraine into a de facto NATO state with a de facto NATO army that started waging a war against its own citizens in the Donbass 8 years ago in 2014. So this war is, if you listen to the dominant narrative, it started last year, but in truth, it started 30 years ago, and it stepped up considerably with the coup that the Canadian government sponsored along with the U.S. in 2014.
Talk about CFMU, because that you, I mean, I don't assume you have a great deal of knowledge about CKUW, but you have your own, our sister station, CFMU. And interestingly enough, it's the place where our own station manager, Robert Schmidt, had gotten interested in producing community radio, and now he's, you know, involved in our station, and he's been at it now for over 30 years, I believe. But could you talk about the difference that community radio coverage of the events, that not just Ukraine, but other events you've been focused on, and how it's different from what mainstream media presents?
Well, CFMU, like your station, presents an alternative to the mainstream media, to the dominant narrative. And we have a show on CFMU called Unusual Sources, and we put out a lot of material there. We interview people who don't get on the mainstream media and who speak out on issues such as war and peace and anti-racism and a number of other issues. So community radio plays a very important role in Canada today, providing an alternate source of opinion and news that you just cannot get otherwise on the mainstream media. So I salute you today on your fundraising show, and I encourage all your listeners to contribute to your show and to your radio station, because it is providing a valuable public service.
Okay. Well, I really want to thank you then for coming on the show and helping us, you know, for your work that's gone for many years, and for your analysis and for promoting CKUW and the Global Research News Hour. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I guess we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. I hope you join us on the webinar. Go to our website at HamiltonCoalitionToStopTheWar.ca, and you can register there.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ken.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that was Ken Stone of the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. And as she just mentioned, you go to HamiltonCoalitionToStopTheWar.ca, and he will you'll see the instructions on how you can get involved. So it's 1:48. Scott, I don't know if you're still there, but it is definitely I hope we've had a few more.
Yeah, I'm still here. Do you want me to put on the Scott Ritter?
Yeah, I think I would. Maybe you can play the one that he did. I guess it's, I label it.
that will lead to one political objective. The first military objective is denazification. That is the absolute destruction, liquidation, annihilation of the neo-Nazi and ultra-right-wing nationalist military formations and the political parties that sustain them, along with any legislation that empowers them. For instance, legislation passed in January of 2021, which made Stepan Bandera, a right-wing Nazi-supporting, Jew-killing, Ukrainian nationalist, elevated him to the status of national hero, and then went around. They passed additional legislation, which named streets after him, named boulevards, named places, raised monuments, and then also brought back into the mainstream people of his ilk, Nazis, people who had enlisted and served in Waffen-SS units during World War II, people had served in Einsatzgruppen that killed Jews during World War II. These people are now rehabilitated, and their names are put up in places of honor. The Russians want to eliminate this. They want legislation passed in Ukraine, which delegitimizes Nazis instead of praising Nazis. The Russians are doing very well on this front. They're in the process of finishing off the last Nazi defenders of the city of Mariupol. This is where the Azov Battalion, now a regiment, it was headquartered. These are right-wing neo-Nazi extremists, many of whom have swastikas and other Nazi symbols tattooed on their bodies. This is where they tormented the Russian-speaking population for the past 8 years. They are now in the process of being killed or captured by the Russians. That is what denazification looks like. Similar denazification processes are taking place elsewhere in Ukraine, anywhere where the Russian forces find a neo-Nazi national unit of the Ukrainian army. Anybody who thinks that the Nazis are doing well against the Russians, think again. The second is demilitarization. This means that Russia is going to dismantle the NATO army that had been built in Ukraine.
American non.
Yes, and yes. Yeah. Hello, that was just Scott Ritter from I guess it was last March.
Yeah, for sure, and he was. This is the same Scott Ritter who said there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So if you listened back in 2003 and you don't have access to CKUW or a community radio station like that, you would be surprised. But I wasn't, because I had that in my back pocket. And I guess you could also say, I don't think there's much time left, but another clip. Was with Bruce Gagnon, and he was talking about how the RAND Corporation, which is a U.S.-based think tank, had talked about how there was a drive to make Ukraine feel so uncomfortable that they would be used against Russia. So it is basically the proxy war paradigm. So I find that to be a compelling thing, and you do not hear this analysis anywhere else. So if you want to hear more of that kind of thing, if you value it, as I valued the way I became first a listener, and then I became a donor, and then I actually became one of the programmers that you're hearing from now, you can start that little giving path by phoning 204-774-6877 or go online to fundrive.ckuw.ca. And Scott, you know what? I got a bit of a... I guess a bit of a promise for our listenership is that there's a very high-profile investigative journalist named Seymour Hersh. He was talking about the way back when about the My Lai massacre. Then later on, he talked about the Abu Ghraib prison scenario. And now he's talking about the attacks on these Nord Stream pipelines, and he claims that they were attacked by the United States, by the U.S. Navy, planting the evidence and dropping a buoy, and then that set them off. I actually have contacted Seymour Hersh, and he said he would be delighted to join me on radio. So that's but I'd like to see some idea that our listeners, and I appreciate what Helga and other people have had to do, but I think it would really mean a lot to me that this is something that I could share with you. And Seymour Hersh for a good 40 minutes or so, and we'll hear. This is I don't think there's another person in the country, let alone Winnipeg, that has access to this renowned figure.
Mm-hmm.
So it would really make it would be very important for me. So if you value that, if you think you'd like to hear it, help us achieve that goal of getting just over the $45,000 mark by phoning 204-774-6877 right now. I mean, right now, or going fundrive.ctuw.ca. Let's make that $45,000. It would make us all quite happy, and I know that you've been working at it really hard, Scott. So go 204-774-6877.
Yes, so the phone just rang. We also have Lily here with a pledge of $75.
Excellent.
It just says two spoken word shows. Mm-hmm. That's great that they're supporting that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Lily.
The drive is $44,234. Maybe 239. So we still need some more help, and I think some of these. I think I'll say this as program director. I came up in sort of the news department with Michael and doing reports and things like that. I've done several spoken word shows, and I think that one of the things too is that we're sort of missing at times is that there's even some things that I don't necessarily completely agree with, but I feel like perhaps people should hear and then be able to assess those things on them for themselves. I think there's a lot of with the moral panic around misinformation. I think there's a lot of closing off of things. Whereas I feel like people should be able to hear perhaps voices that they would normally hear, or even things they might disagree with, but to then clarify their own positions on these things. And I think even Scott Ritter is an example. He, of course, spoke out against the WMDs in Iraq. I've heard a lot of his commentary on your show, but on others about the war in Ukraine. I think he has some interesting insights. I think he also gets some things wrong, and I think that's fine. And I don't know why we've come to this place where we feel like everything needs to be completely shut down. This is sort of the difference here, is that we do allow these sort of alternative voices to be aired on the station, and we put a lot of trust in the listeners that they can hear something and be like, well, I agree with that part, and maybe this other part I'm not so sure on. And that's totally fine. We're not here to say this is 100% what it is, or even that this analysis is the 100% analysis. This is you can take parts of it that you find useful, and that's how I've always that's how I've always engaged with the media. That's how we hope you engage with the media, and you can pledge to that right now, 204-774-6877 for that kind of a bit of openness and to hear it, and also to also a radio station that doesn't try to pander. We're not going to try to tell you what you should think or like. That's up to you. We simply present these sorts of things. We're not here to beat anyone over the head with any particular viewpoint. And I think if you were to ask the staff, and as well as a lot of the volunteers, you'd have a range of opinions, because we're a campus and community radio station, keyword being community. There's a range of opinions, and that's totally fine. 204-774-6877, closing minutes here on the Global Research News Hour. I think it's a great thing, and thank you to Lily and Helga for sending in their pledges. Yes. We very much appreciate it. Michael, I think you have 2 minutes. Final appeals.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just I spent some time sharing with you all like a very deeply personal experience. Of how I got involved with the station, and went from the floor of my living room listening to it to the station to actually getting to be the news director and then eventually becoming the host of this show. And so I'm thinking maybe you have something similar. I mean, you can listen to this vast tapestry of experiences in the community where we have beat. I mean, we've heard things, you know, from all sorts of different people. And by the way, I mean, they don't necessarily all agree with themselves either. Or the people from Global Research don't necessarily all agree on everything. So that is to that point that Scott was making, and he is absolutely correct. But, you know, we're presenting those alternative explanations, and I think that allows us to better source out what's really going on. So, yeah, if you wanted to go to these peace rallies, I believe in Winnipeg, there's a peace demonstration at the corner of River and Osborne. It's coming up on tomorrow, I believe. So, you know, tomorrow